Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone back. Sunbury Motors Studios on the road today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Roads 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealers Grove on Routes 11 and 15. You can always go to the website and preview it. Great pictures of the deli and the bakery. At www.hilscherstore.com. And today's show, of course, on every Thursday, brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to www.rewfinancial.com. Mariano Rivera will retire after this year. It also means that one other significant thing will happen.
Oh, I think I know this.
Kevin Herr, go ahead.
It will be the retirement of the last number 42 in Major League Baseball.
That's exactly right. He's the last 42 to play. That means he'll be permanently retired across Major League Baseball in honor of Jackie Robinson. Nobody else, because he'd been grandfathered. If you had 42, you could wear 42. And some guys did. Like Bo Vaughn was 42. He was able to keep it, and Rivera did. So that's it. So, yeah.
I'm so happy. I got something right. Sorry, I'm just having a moment. Give me a second to enjoy it. Okay, I'm good now. Thanks.
Seconds up. All right. Items. Among the items, first of all, at the University of Michigan, they get some good news. Devin Gardner, who had started out last year as a wideout, then he moved to quarterback, has picked up a fifth year of eligibility for Michigan. They are on Penn State's schedule in October. Iowa's reviewing the hire of Kirk Ferentz's future son-in-law, who's been working as an administrative assistant for the past year and had his contract renewed. Iowa's taking a look at that because there's already scrutiny over Brian Ferentz being the offensive line coach. And by the way, Brian Ferentz at the New England Patriots, and there's nothing but great things to say about Brian Ferentz. Well, it's not Brian that's under scrutiny. It's the future son-in-law that's under scrutiny, and Iowa's taking a look at that relationship. Monte Ball turned in a 4.46 at the Wisconsin Pro Day. He needed that. He needed to show he has that kind of quicks, and he did because his combine time was not that great. One of the investigators who worked on the NCAA inquiry of Miami Athletics wrote a letter on behalf of former booster and convicted felon Nevin Shapiro just days before he was sentenced 2 years ago. In the letter, dated June 3rd, 2011, Amin Nadjer even suggested that the NCAA could eventually hire Shapiro. Nadjer, who is no longer with the NCAA, told U.S. District Judge Susan Wigginton that college sports governing body could have utilized Shapiro in the future as a consultant and or speaker to educate our membership. Nadjer says that Shapiro assisted the NCAA with investigations involving a number of schools. Nadjer did not specify the schools, not even Miami, where Shapiro is the central figure in the scandal that has dogged the Hurricanes athletic department for at least 2 years. It says that throughout the course of our interactions, it is my belief that Mr. Shapiro possesses a unique depth of knowledge and experience concerning representative athletic interests, boosters, agents, and the provision of extra benefits to student-athletes, Nadjer wrote. Nadjer left the NCAA last year, and attempts to reach have mysteriously been unsuccessful. Nevin Shapiro has not been and will not be a consultant to the NCAA, said the NCAA in a statement late last night. We are aware of the letter, but cannot comment any further at this time. Nodgers was just one of a number of letters written to the court on Shapiro's behalf before sentencing, none of which appeared to sway Wigginton. 4 days after the date of Nodgers' letter, the judge gave Shapiro a longer sentence than prosecutors had asked for on the securities fraud and money laundering counts he admitted to in a plea agreement in September 2010. She ordered him to pay more than $82 million in restitution to his victims. Nodger wrote to Wigginton using NCAA letterhead and did so when he had the title of Director of Enforcement. His role in missteps that the NCAA made during the investigation was detailed last month when a probe that NCAA President Mark Emmert ordered found, among other things, that Nodger appeared to manipulate the investigation by hiring Shapiro's attorney, Maria Elena Perez, and having her use subpoena power to interview people related to the Miami case. The NCAA does not have subpoena power. Two people were subpoenaed and deposed as part of Shapiro's bankruptcy case, though some of the information gleaned in those interviews was being used by the NCAA in its case against Miami. The NCAA said it was removing that ill-gotten information from the notice of allegations, which Miami was presented last month, and included the charge that the Hurricanes had a lack of institutional control when it came to monitoring Shapiro's access to the athletic department. Perez, in a letter to the Florida Bar dated February 21st, said that she is not and has never acted in the capacity of an attorney for the NCAA. She billed the NCAA for $57,000 for work performed related to the investigation. A record shows she received about one-third of that amount. Perez told the AP last month that had I realized I was dealing with what is, in my opinion, such an incompetent regulatory institution, I never would have allowed Mr. Shapiro to have any type of contact with the NCAA, period. Well, it just gets more bizarre.
Gets stupid. That's what it gets. I mean, it's beyond bizarre at this point.
All right. Now let's get to the America 12. The America 12 Conference is the favorite to become the new name of the current Big East Conference's football schools. The name has not officially been approved by the league presidents, although it's just a mishmash of teams right now. They may not be able to find half of them. However, Covington and Burling, the conference's law firm, purchased and registered the domain name America12.org on Tuesday, according to Wohl's Domain Registered Registration. The Big East law firm also registered other variations of the America 12 on Tuesday, including America12Conference.com, America12Sports.com, America12.org, American12Conference.com, America12.com, where 12 is spelled out, and the America12Conference.com.
Covering all the bases is there, except they didn't get .TV or, they had everything else there available. And now there's thousands of squatters now going online trying to find the missed keystrokes for America 12 and then registering that.
Right. So they tried to come up with as many variations of it as possible, so they had all their bases covered, so they had control of the domain.
No, that's the way you have to do it. That's absolutely the way you have to do it.
So today's rant deals with NASCAR, huh?
Well, I do have, yeah, it deals with NASCAR, but I did have something I wanted to bring up that was part of a rant from a few weeks ago. Remember we started talking about all the rule changes that were proposed back in February? Well, it looks like the NCAA has now officially said that teams like Boise State can wear the same color uniforms as their field, so it's not a big deal anymore, which I thought was a dumb rule in the first place, because the only thing that it really hurt was the television. It was harder to see on television, you know, because the player's blending in with the turf. If you can't tell the player from the turf and you're on the field, then you shouldn't be playing college football. I didn't really see where the problem was there, so I'm glad to see that the NCAA saw the frivolousness of this particular rule change and decided to do what the Mountain West decided to do as well and just say, you know what, just wear whatever you want. We don't care.
I wouldn't say whatever you want to wear, we don't care. I think they need to do a better job. I think they need to have some level of game approval that people can read numbers.
Okay, I'll agree with that. But I don't think that's an issue, at least in the Boise State situation. I have no trouble reading those numbers.
It's an issue everywhere else. Did you try to watch Michigan play basketball the other day?
Well, you know, we've talked about Michigan uniforms being a problem in football as well.
Well, they did that in the bowl game, too, but a lot of people have been doing that. I mean, I'm here at Northwestern. The last football game I did here, they wore alternate jerseys with black and purple. Guess how many numbers you could read? None. I talked to Paul Keels when he did the Rose Bowl. Oregon. Everybody loves Oregon's uniforms. The announcers don't. Can't see the numbers.
No, that's a great... I can't see them on TV very well either.
You can't see it. And I think you have to... You should have distinguishable numbers that people can look at and see, including people up in the box. For example, I mean, if you have numbers that you can't read very well, put two number sixes on the field. What?
Well, but see, that wasn't even the intent of this rule. That's the problem. The rule
I understand.
Yeah.
I'm talking about something else here. Okay?
Right.
I'm talking about something more important than color of pants.
And that's what I was just going to say. That's more important than worrying about the color of their pants and jerseys matching the field.
I mean, I think they need to put together a standard-sized numeral like the NFL has, a standard-sized numeral for everybody to wear. That is readable by everybody in the stadium.
And I have a problem with high school as well for the same reason you're saying right there. And this reminded me, a lot of schools will put like their nickname or their school name across the front, and the numeral in the numbers in the front will be much smaller. And it makes it very difficult to try and figure out who's who.
I have no problem with that. If the number in the back is there, that no problem with that. That doesn't bother me that much. It doesn't bother me much at all. I mean, there's some teams that don't put the number on the front of their jersey anyway.
See, if they're coming the right direction, if you're coming in the right direction, and you know this from sitting, what'd you say, at the Rose Bowl, about the 20-yard line, you're never going to see the back of the jersey if they're coming from...
Oh, you're talking about football. You're talking about football.
Oh, I'm talking about football.
Oh, yeah. Well, football, you need to have a standard size numeral. You need to have a standard size numeral that front and back that people can see. To me, when you're doing something like that, you may think it's cool, but it's partially deceptive. As far as I'm concerned,
they did announce something else. I wanted to. Oh, go ahead, finish your thought here. I had another one to bring up for you too. The NCAA did have something else that they talked about in February, and I wanted to get your opinion on this because I know we talked about it before. We talked about the helmet-to-helmet contact and the defenseless player above-the-shoulder contact, which is what NCAA is really pushing now, and it's going to be an automatic ejection. Mm-hmm. However, they did announce, and it was approved, that ejections would be reviewable through video replay, but the replay official must have conclusive evidence that the player should not be ejected to overturn the call on the field. So now you're asking the official to make a judgment call, then you're asking a replay official to also look at the penalty. Does that set a precedent now?
Precedent for what? They're just trying to make sure if you're going to do something as severe as ejecting somebody, you want to make sure.
Right, but we're overturning an ejection now. Does that start the ball rolling on using replay in other ways? That's what I'm asking.
No. When you're taking severe action like that, that should be a reviewable play.
And I'm not against that.
That way you know that. No, I think that's all they're doing.
I mean, you and I have talked about this before in the NFL. I think
the penalty, the penalty is going to be enforced regardless.
Right.
Okay. Now it's just determining intent in terms of the ejection. It has nothing to do with the penalty itself. You're not going to get double the penalty for doing it. You know, it's going to be a 15-yard penalty from the spot of the foul anyway. Okay. So that part doesn't change. It's just whether you determine the intent to throw somebody out of the game. And I have no problem with that. You know, to me, it's like when they stop the game to determine whether it's a flagrant one or flagrant two in basketball. That's all. I find no fault with that at all. And I don't think that's an issue. Now, I will say this. I've only once felt like I felt like a guy deliberately went to the head to prove a point. And that was Taylor Mays, I thought, may have gone to the head of Jordan Norwood in the Rose Bowl.
It's going to be awful tough, I think, to try and prove intent.
Well, I've never, like I said, in all the games I've done, I don't recall any game where I felt somebody was headhunting. I think this is a very big non-issue.
Well,
I think the number of times in the next 5 years that we're going to see a play reviewed on for a is going to be on one hand, and I doubt many of the fingers on one hand are.
I'm wondering.
Think of times where it's been when people say he ought to be thrown out for that. I don't see that at all in college football. Even the Jadeveon Clowney hit where he knocked Smith's helmet off. It's just the way it goes. That wasn't even a helmet-to-helmet hit. It was completely legal.
I'm just wondering if officials are going to start flagging a little bit more now on players that don't have their arms out or attempt to wrap or trying to use their shoulder or their body as a way to knock a player off their feet, if that's going to be one of the things they're going to be looking for in intent.
No, they're looking for helmet-to-helmet. Okay, they're looking for head hits. They're not looking for you throw your body in there and you hit the guy in the shoulder pads.
Well, but I don't know that it's worded that way. That's where I'm confused, because the NCAA's announcement
Okay, in the last 10 years, how many hits have you seen that you thought were deliberate hits to the head?
Well, I've seen more in the NFL that I think are questionable than college football.
I haven't seen any of the games I've done. I've seen none. Okay, I would bet years it's on hand reviewed.
Well, I agree. I'm just saying I'm looking at this from, I think, an NFL standpoint as well, because I think the NFL might look at something like this eventually as well after the NCAA tries it. My question is, are you going to start to see flags now for players that aren't, as the NFL put it, and Roger Goodell said, not properly tackling?
Right.
Fundamentals, you know.
In all the games I've done, I haven't seen one hit, okay, over the years, except for that one by Mays where I'd have some question about what his intent was, because I think it was, you know.
No, I would agree
with
that.
But that's it? One? One in 13 years? No. So I think that is one where the rule is there, but the rule, the enforceability of it, it's going to be so minimal. It'll be the first time it happens, it'll be noticed, and that'll be the only time it happens in terms of being noticed. Okay. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. SOTM tomorrow. Tomorrow we have Steve Blass on the show, Ken Shurtos on the show tomorrow. Try and get Tony DeFazio from the Pittsburgh Sports Report on as well. Dave Baker made a really good point. The other thing about standardized numerals and the ability to see numerals, how about game films that you exchange with opposing teams?
Maybe you don't want them to see it.
Well, yeah, but you.
I know.
But that,
I'm
you
joking.
Know what? You have to be allowed to properly see who personnel happens to be. And you can't be sitting there going, what the heck is it? Who? What? Yeah, and that's part of it. I think they're playing so many games right now with styles and so many games with color combinations right now that you watch Michigan play Sunday against Michigan State, you do realize Michigan had the names on the back of the jerseys. Couldn't read a single one of them. Because the names were in yellow on yellow.
Makes no sense. I mean, anybody that's done anything in graphics design knows that that doesn't make sense.
Right, but Louisville did the same thing in their game the other night. They wore white on white. Who sat down in a think tank and said, this is really a smart idea? And then I saw what the Adidas uniforms are going to look like for six teams in the postseason. Oh. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to REWfinancial.com. Le Rent, 10 minutes away.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Final half hour of the show. In this half hour, a rant on NASCAR.
Wow, you build that up so well. Thanks for the great little promo.
I could do a rant on IndyCar.
Yeah, but your rant wouldn't be good. Be just how much that people don't watch it as much as NASCAR.
No, I think both the people that watch it seem to enjoy it.
Yes, we do. Thank you.
All right. Well, you might as well let your rant fly.
All right. Well, listen, this is a simple one against what NASCAR has recently done. Denny Hamlin was fined $25,000 for disparaging remarks about the new Sprint Cup car and the qualifying of racing in the Sprint Cup race at Phoenix over the weekend. They announced that he was in violation of Section 12.1 of the rule book that includes all actions detrimental to stock car racing. What did he say? He said, "I don't want to be a pessimist, but it didn't race as good as our Gen 5 cars," referring to the new Generation 6 cars. "This is more like what the Generation 5 car was at the beginning. The teams haven't figured out how to get the aero balance right. Right now, you just run single file, and you can't get around the guy in front of you. You'd place me in 20th place with 30 laps to go. I would have stayed there. I wouldn't have moved up. It's just one of those things where track position is everything." Now, does that sound detrimental to stock car racing? Because any of us that watched the Daytona 500 said the same thing. He's not saying anything we don't know. These cars are so aerodynamically similar now, and they haven't figured it out yet. There hasn't been a lot of passing. It does look like a Formula One race out there. When somebody gets in the lead, nobody gets in ahead of them. The only time something changes is maybe in the last lap when somebody takes a gamble and breaks out of the draft. At least that's what happened at Daytona. So should he be fined $25,000 for disparaging remarks? I don't think that's disparaging. He's just stating what he thinks about the cars. He didn't say the car was garbage. He didn't say they should throw it out and NASCAR was stupid for even doing this. That's disparaging remarks. Not worth $25,000.
Well, he's not going to pay the $25,000. He's already made that very, very plain. He's not paying it.
And he shouldn't.
And nor should he have to pay it. And the reason that what bothers me is that we're in a country where free speech means something. It means something. Now, you don't want to, in the course of your free speech, abuse the privilege by personalizing something. You don't want to abuse the privilege by saying something that is scandalous about someone. You don't want to abuse the privilege by lying about someone. And you don't want to abuse the privilege by giving an opinion that hurts someone's reputation. Okay? That's abusing the privilege of free speech. But getting out and telling a reporter, he said, "Look, this car isn't, quite like the..." He's just stating his opinion. That he doesn't like single-file racing, that he wants racing to be 2-3, and it's more exciting that way, and that they don't have the balance of the car right. There's too much along the way where free speech is abused, where free speech is being hindered. And one of them is that don't get personal. Okay, if you're not personal, I think you should be allowed to criticize an official after the game without being personal about it. You can criticize the call. That call hurt us. Now, if you get personal about it,
that official was blind.
The competence of the official. or incompetent or whatever, right. Like, you should be fined for that. But I think you should be allowed to say, you know what, that I did not agree with that call at all. I think it was the wrong call. I'm going to look at it later on the tape. But that call really affected the game. All right? I think it's okay to say that. All right? As long as you're not saying, and I'll give you an example because I think everyone knows, I personally like Ed Hightower, you know, if I went out there, Ed Hightower, you know, did a lousy job tonight, and he did a public. Now, you should be fined a lot of money for doing that because you personalized it. Because I can tell you right now, Ed Hightower's working as hard as he can to do the best job he can. Now, is every call going to be right? No. Is every coaching decision going to be right? No. Is every announcer's call on the air going to be right to the mark? No. Well, people make mistakes. So if you allow that and then talk about, look, I just didn't think it was the right call. We really thought the ball went off of it. Really, I mean, I feel like it cost us the game. What's wrong with saying that? What's wrong with what he said? You can't keep putting a clamp on free speech all the time as long as you don't abuse the privilege by being personal with it and being disparaging to an individual with it. Okay? Giving it a car that they're all trying to run and sponsor the whole thing. But guess what? He's entitled to say it. Why? He's an American.
And here's the other problem that this leads to is if you're going to start fining drivers for what appeared to me, now I don't know the tone of his voice at this moment, but in words seemed to be a rather, you know, benign comment. If you're going to fine drivers for doing that after a race in front of the media, then drivers aren't going to want to be in front of the media or in front of the fans. They then in turn will then alienate fans, and guess what? NASCAR will be in the same spot that people feel Formula One is. It's an elitist sport that nobody gets a chance to get in contact with the drivers or anything. That's what NASCAR is in danger of doing here, and it's becoming closer and closer every year. The access to the drivers is being very limited, and if drivers don't feel that they can actually, you know, talk to people and the media freely and in a controlled environment, a controlled situation, it's only going to make it worse.
Well, look, this is happening across the board. Press conferences are homogenized now. You get generic stuff. You don't get any real legitimate opinion anymore because anytime anyone gives a real legitimate opinion about something, it is, oh, my goodness, did you hear that? And then, of course, it gets roundly criticized. So everybody plays it safe now. Everybody plays it safe. They don't want their words twisted. They don't want to be dragged through. If they make it, you know, why do you think some of the great moments we've had in press conferences have been the moments such as, you know, we talk about what Herm Edwards said. We talk about what Jim Mora said. Playoff.
They made commercials about it.
But that was a genuine, real emotion about his team at that moment that he expressed. Dennis Green, after the Cardinals lost to the Bears, after they had a big lead in the Bears.
They are who we thought they were?
Genuine, real emotion. Yeah. Genuine, real emotion. Now, there's some that go overboard, like John Calipari at his press conference and John Chaney bursting into the media room at UMass saying, I'm going to kill you. I mean,
that might be a little bit over the line.
That's a little real. It's a little. He may have several of the coaches in the conference, but it's a little. But I think we're losing through handlers, through manipulation of key words and language, of the loss of emotion in front of people. And that everybody has to be stifled and stay within the lines. And you're not allowed to color outside the line because you got to stay within the lines. And you're going to be so cautious and tippy-toe so much that you're not going to get a real opinion out there that may provoke thought. What Denny Hamlin said should promote thought. Those who are designing the cars and we're watching the racing have to sit back and say, hey, wait a minute. What can we do to, you know, this guy makes some legitimate points here, you know, because look, I've watched single file racing now in the Daytona 500 and the Phoenix 500. Do we want to see this? Do we want to see single file, or do we want to see them 2-3 across at times? And I think, you know, We're losing the ability by regulating every word and parsing words now to the point where we're losing thought-provoking conversation. And we need thought-provoking conversation. You need to have the ability, without being personal, to offer an opinion.
What if Larry Mack said that on the broadcast? Would they find, would Fox fine him, or would NASCAR want Fox to fine him? No, because you know why? He's analyzing it and making a comment based on that. So why would you do a drive? Well, why would you fine a driver?
They demand him to be suspended from the broadcast for a week.
They probably could. They probably could.
Okay, now take, I mean, how about the, what, North Dakota State announcer?
Right.
The North Dakota State announcer? Now, did he, yeah, you know how I feel about the words choke and choke job and things like that. I think that's, you know, I've always told you I don't like the term. I find it to be extremely derogatory. But on the postgame show with the coach, he used the words choke job after North Dakota State lost a lead and lost the game. The irony is that the coach did not have a problem with it. The athletic director did, and he suspended him for two games. Now, if you have a problem with him, why don't you just pull him inside and say, hey, look, whatever his name was, hey, just be careful when you say that. But why suspend him for two games?
Because you're trying to prove a point.
That's what's your point?
Exactly.
I don't know what the point is.
Exactly. And in my opinion, NASCAR is trying to prove a point here by saying, hey, you know what? We're going to be like the NFL now. We're going to start fining everybody just so people talk about us.
No, I think they're fining because I didn't like what he said.
Oh, hang on. I just got an email. I just got fined from the NFL for saying that.
But I'm saying I think that they fined him $25,000 because they've made this big move to this car and they don't like the fact that he said it. It's like, no, we don't need bad publicity about the car right now. We need the people, you know, to believe in what we're doing. That's why you get fined.
Listen, I like the car in design. I like the fact that the front end isn't flat and you can't sit there and push guys like they did the last couple of years at these super speedways. I like the fact that each one of these cars has a unique front end based on what you see in the showroom instead of just stickers. I think that's a great idea. But I also think what Denny Hamlin said is exactly right. And anybody that watched the Daytona 500 for more than 50 laps realized that that was probably the most boring Daytona 500 they've seen in years because there was no passing.
No, that was, in the world of racing, that was Formula One in an oval.
Yes. Yes, it was. And I'll tell you, I almost...
Once you take the lead in Formula One, you never lose
it. You never look back. That's right. Unless you have a bad pit. That's about it. You know, and
right,
I almost...
Exactly. I mean, I'm not... that was not a joke on my part. You watch Formula One... The order hardly changes mile after mile after mile. It's ridiculous. It's not racing.
After the first five laps, nothing changes in the top 10. And if it does, it's not much. But, you know, when you look at, I almost supported the push to pass in NASCAR if they're going to have these cars do this on an oval. And I'm not a big fan of push to pass in IndyCar either, but it has made the racing more interesting.
Right. It does. And the thing is, he has an owner that he works for. NASCAR does not own him. Okay, they don't own him. He works for somebody, and they enter the cars in, and he drives it. He drives the car. This isn't helping our sport. Now, for them to sit back, they probably sat back. Oh no, we don't need this. Not right now. How dare you tell the truth? And that's one of the things that, you know, that there's too much where it's okay to tell the truth without being personal. Where is he personal? He doesn't say anything about the owners and say anything personal about the crew chiefs. He doesn't say anything personal about the people who run the sport.
There was absolutely nothing saying, disparaging, nothing, except a comment about the car.
I mean, if, you know, I'll give you an example. Penn State in, I want to say 2009, is playing at Purdue. Tim Frazier hits the ball. It goes off Johnson out of bounds. Juwan Johnson goes off him out of bounds. I see it. It's right in front of me. Ted Hillary, whom I have immense respect for, felt that the ball was off Frazier, and he gave Purdue the ball with 5 seconds to go. They ran a pop play, got Johnson out in the wing, 18-footer, and at the buzzer hit the shot, beat Penn State. Did the call cost Penn State the game? Absolutely the call cost Penn State the game. Penn State was winning the game by 1 point when it happened. They would have had the ball. Okay? By getting the ball in successfully, it probably would have been 4 seconds left, and they would have walked 94 feet down to the other end. Purdue was not going to get a quality anything out of that. Was it a bad call? Yes. Did we say Ted Hillary, oh, what an awful, terrible call, he's a bad fit? Absolutely not, because I have immense respect for him. But I said that they got the call wrong. Just like, for example, there was a ball in the Penn State-Nebraska game that clearly, if I could see it, went right off Penn State out of bounds. They gave Nebraska the ball. They said, you know, it wasn't the right call. So we said it wasn't the right call, even though it benefited Penn State. You know, you're trying to give the listening audience an honest appraisal of what's going on without being personal. Without being personal. You know, and the guy, you know, and I talk to these guys, and I like these guys. I mean, Mark Whitehead, I really like, and Ed Hightower, I really like, and Teddy Valentine, I like. You know, so when they make good calls, we'll tell you, hey, look, the crowd doesn't like it, but we just saw it's the right call. That's called honesty. All right? And he, you know, and he honestly gave his opinion about the car that maybe NASCAR should listen to and say, hey, look, we're still trying. And he even says, we're still trying to work it out in terms of aerodynamics. $25,000 fine? Well, I'm sorry. Denny Hamlin is the one that looked bad at NASCAR, dude. We'll wrap it up in a moment on 70WK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Another successful rant in the books.
Tiger update.
America loves them.
Tiger update. Tiger shoots a 66.
He's the leader right now at the tournament Doral. He is the leader. Frederick Jakobsen is also tied, but he's still on the course. And I think there's two other guys also at 600, but they're also on the course playing at Doral, where he's had success before.
The Rory update puts him at tomorrow. 73.
Okay. But you know what? I gotta give him a lot of credit. I watched his press conference. That was as honest and as forthright. Where he did no excuses. I blame me. I'm never doing that again. I learned my lesson. You know, I mean,
I don't blame him. I would have walked off if I was playing poorly too. I understand the frustration. Yeah. I've been there.
Right, but you know what? He now realizes there's a responsibility as a professional not to do that. No, I mean, this is not the weekender over at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club where you look around and go, I'm having a lousy day. Look, guys, I'm going to have a couple of pops.
Time to go to the 19th hole.
Don't you guys... Exactly. You're a professional. People have come out to pay to see you play. You have a responsibility to them. Now, at Doral, there's no cut, by the way. All right? There's no cut at Doral, unlike some other tournaments. So he can shoot 73. He's playing into the weekend regardless.
Tied for 51st right now.
See, you learned something, didn't you?
No, I actually knew that one. Sorry.
You knew that one? Good.
Yes.
Good.
You don't want to know why.
Tomorrow you're not going to be a part of the show tomorrow because you're leaving. What are you leaving, 10 a.m.?
Noon. No, we're leaving probably about 3:30 to make sure we're at Abington. Yeah. Make sure we're at Lackawanna College for Shikellamy Abington Heights.
Good. So it's Buhner and me tomorrow. Buhner. See. So we'll be talking about that. We have a few things. Ken Shurto tomorrow on wrestling in the Olympics, and also Steve Blass from spring training. 54 years of being around spring training. I think he knows the drill.
Buhner is going to have his ears just glued to the headset during the Ken Cherto thing. You know that.
I know, which is fine. I'm glad we can get that on. Kenny's, you know what Kenny's next door neighbor is? I mean, literally next door neighbor.
Kale?
No.
Oh, all right. Then that was going to be my guess.
Bill O'Brien.
Well, at least I had the right idea.
Yeah. No, Bill O'Brien is literally his next-door neighbor. So, you wonder why Bill spends a lot of time at the office. All right.
Have a great call. 6:30 airtime.
Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or online at REWFinancial.com. We'll talk to you in 90 minutes.